a reader by the name of, let me get this right, Mumomi, wants to know why you've never done a solo album.
You know, that's a good question. I really don't know why. You know, I've had a lot of ideas, and I've actually played with a lot of different people on projects that they've done. But for some reason, I don't know. I'd always felt like, obviously, playing with Van Halen, everybody was, you know, for the most part, able to throw in their input, and it was almost like everybody doing a solo album. Gosh, you know, I really don't know. Joe, to tell you the truth, I don't know why I never have. Maybe I should. But I'm locked in the chicken foot now, so.
There you go.
We'll still have to wait on it.
A reader by the name of JohnFranco888 wants to know, if you could jam to Little Wing with one modern-day guitarist other than Joe Satriani, who would it be?
Okay, I'll tell you, Joe, bands today write great songs, but there are not a lot of great lead guitar players out there like there were when, you know, I was coming up through the ranks, and Eddie and people like that. But probably one guy that I would say is a friend of mine, Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very good guitar player, and I'd probably like to jam that song with him.
A reader by the name of The Dude 5 asks, who are your influences as a bassist?
Okay, well, that's easy. You know, I listen to a little bit of the R&B stuff, the soul stuff, like James Jamerson, you know, some of that stuff. But mainly my influences, my sister, when she brought home this the first Electric Flag record, and it was the Harvey Brooks, who I started listening to, and I just loved his walking bass lines. You know, there was a song that they did off that, an old blues song called Texas.
Right.
And I just loved the way he played those lines. And so he was actually the first person I listened to, but it didn't take long after that to, like, just jump on all the rock guys. And, I mean, I listen to everybody. I'd probably say John Paul Jones is probably my favorite player out of anybody because he incorporated kind of tasty bass lines without really trying to step on anyone's toes. To me, he was one of the best players of the time. I could still listen to the Lemon song and get off on the bass solo in the center part of that song. Gosh, I mean, I listened to a lot of John Entwistle, Jack Bruce. I mean, everybody, that whole genre of bass players, there were just so many great guys to listen to.
The same reader, The Dude 5, wants to know, when you chugged Jack Daniels on stage, is that really Jack Daniels, or is it iced tea, as some people have said?
No, that was really Jack Daniels.
Oh, my.
I hate to admit it. When you're in the early days, Joe, when you're like 22, 23 and indestructible, I mean, it was a common sight before Van Halen went on stage, before any given show, that somebody would be backstage throwing up from the night before.
Oh, my.
Getting ready to play. And then we'd jump on stage. I mean, when you're that age, you fire back pretty quick. You know, you try to, as you get older, you try to, like, grow older gracefully as far as that goes. But, I chugged a lot of it in the early days, but I really don't even drink it hardly at all anymore, every now and then. Yeah, it's just one of those crazy, crazy kid things, man, that we all did.
So you're not pounding back the Sammy Cabo Wabo tequila?
Cabo Wabo, oh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. When we did the 2004 tour, on the one side of the stage, Sammy had his area and I had my area. Sammy would have his guests, I'd have my guests. My guests would be doing shots of Jack Daniels, and so every now and then I'd do a little shot of Jack Daniels with them. But then you go over and then Sammy's guests, I mean, I had to learn to kind of drink Jack Daniels and Cabo side by side.
Oh, my.
So I really had to pace myself. And, you know, you get good at going, hey, we're going to do a shot. Hey, who's that over there? And you toss it over your shoulder.
It sounds like a dangerous combination.
Yeah, you know, as you get older, you obviously can't handle a lot of those things like you did. And, you know, and the whole important thing for me and, you know, for anybody who loves playing music or in any business is the longevity, you know. We've seen a lot of great musicians, a lot of people come and go because of, you know, all the partying and substance abuse and stuff like that. And, you know, I was always pretty level-headed as far as any of that went. And so I was determined that, you know, I'd have a nice, hopefully long career and live a long life. And so you have to make adjustments, little adjustments as you get older, you know.
A reader by the name of Dominic Critelli wants to know, are there any bass warm-ups that you do, either at home or before a show?
Yeah, well, at home and also before a show, probably one of the warm-ups that I do that helps me the most is at home anyway, I have a drum machine, and mm-hmm. I'll just put on a straight beat, and I will sit there, and I will just groove to it and play 8th notes, 16th notes, and I just play and play and play and just, you know, get that groove down and build up the strength in my fingers to be able to do that. And I'll tell you, my right forearm looks like Popeye from doing that. But that really helps loosen me up the most. You know, that I'll play scales to move my left hand around and whatever, but I pump a lot with the right hand and just play those notes to the drum machine and just keep going at it. It's kind of funny. Another thing that a buddy of mine, Phil Chen, told me a long time ago, years ago, mm-hmm. that when he warmed up, that he would actually play a bass, like a old telly bass or something that had a bigger neck on it.
Okay.
And so I started doing that, and I actually have a couple of Yamaha 5-strings that I play, and I'll actually pretty much half of when I'm practicing at home, I'll just play on the 5-string, and it just helps, you know, my left hand basically helps, you know, stretch it out really good and whatever. When I go back to playing, you know, the 4-strings that I normally play, you know, it just feels a lot better and a lot easier, but, you know, it's just a lot more fluent and whatever. And so I think playing on the big neck, you know, helps me a lot too.
A reader by the name of Joe Mann wants to know, what was your reaction to John McCain's use of the song Right Now in his campaign?
You know what? I think Sammy kind of stated the same way that I feel when he talked about it. You know, it's an uplifting song and a positive song. You know, whether he used it or Obama used it, I think it's great. You know, it's used in a positive way.
A reader by the name of Jack Krim wants to know, and I don't know if you can say this, but what's the wildest memory you have of life on the road back in the day?
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course I can't say it. What if my wife listens to this? You know what? There were so many of them that they all kind of ran together. But I'll tell you, one of the wilder things that I was probably in the band known for doing in the early years was, like the people that I always read about, like Keith Moon or whatever, I could trash up a hotel pretty good. And I almost went to jail a few times for it. Luckily, our tour manager was always there with a couple dollars in his pocket to pay off the house detectives or whoever came over. But I could say I cleared out a few hotels in the middle of the night with the fire alarms.
Okay. And quite a few readers have asked this, but Cabo Wabo 316 wants to know, if Eddie and Al were to put the past behind them and look to a future of Van Halen with you and Sammy, would you do it?
You know, I've told this to a lot of people. I'm the guy that will admit to saying I'm the never say never guy. And, you know, a lot of people hold grudges and whatever. And at this point in my life and career, I don't want any drama. I want to have fun. That's why Sammy and I have so much fun playing together, because, I mean, it's all positive. We have a good time. We look at it like that, you know. If I was 20 years old again, then sure, I'll go, you know, I'll fight and do all the drama. But to get actually to the question, if everybody got together and it was all on the up and up, you know, everybody equal about it and whatever, sure, I'd be right there.
However, let me throw this in.
Mm-hmm.
What if it wasn't Sammy? What if it was you guys and David?
You know what? I would have loved to have done this reunion tour with Dave. I mean, I think it would have been a lot of fun being on stage with Dave again. But, yeah, I mean, as far as future stuff and future recordings, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you got to get in the studio and see how well you work together as musicians and individuals together. But as far as playing again in the live situation, I'd love to jam again with Dave on stage.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for spending so much time with me. It's been great.
Joe, it's my pleasure to talk to you.
I just want to tell
everybody out there, look out. Chickenfoot's coming. Chickenfoot or whatever we're going to be.
Whatever you're called. we're gonna hold a contest for the name, I think.
You know, that might not be a bad idea, actually, Joe.
Well, I think Chad Smith thought the prize, if someone came up with a good name, it should be A Date with Joe Satriani.
A Date with Joe Satriani?
Yes. which he thought would be very interesting if it was a guy who came up with the winning name.
I think maybe just a wild weekend with Chad Smith.
There you go.
That put anybody in their grave, man.
Okay.
Trying to keep up with that guy.
Everybody's offering everybody up for dates. So that's the way this rolls. This is Joe Basso for Music Radar. I've been speaking with Michael Anthony. Michael, it's been a pleasure.
You're welcome, and I can't wait to see all you guys out there next year.
Absolutely.